There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
Here we go, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along. Live local talk over the next couple of hours, or the next hour. I mean, you can still call me afterwards, but we're here till 2 o'clock. Phone number, text line 343-0106. I got to ask this question. I'm doing engineering as I'm opening up the segment. Headphones too loud?
No, I'm good.
Okay, yeah. Just checking. Headphones too loud?
No, it sounds good.
Okay, and I'm going to get y'all. Like, this is the stuff that I'm supposed to do before we go on the air and start talking about things, but we'll just do it here once we're on. Got to get you close to the mics. These mics pick up really close to the mic, but you guys are used to mics anyways, because we're talking about the Mobile Comedy Festival. First of all, is that the right name?
Correct.
Yeah, everybody introduce themselves. We've got a studio full of people, and we're going to have to get some pictures here, too.
Well, first of all, I'm comedian Jacques Toulouse West.
First of all, see how he does that?
Yes.
Because I was first. I said it's first.
That's right.
And thirdly. But I've been a comedian, a local comedian. I've traveled. I've been doing comedy since 1994, so...
And there weren't nearly the things to be funny about back then. I mean, there's like, you got way more stuff now.
Yeah, but it's kind of like obsolete, you know, like we have no more home phones, so they can't really talk about that anymore.
That's right. Yes, you should kind of mix it up.
The Walkman jokes are not killing anyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those things with stand-up comedy. You don't go like, you know, a band comes to the Wharf. And we want to hear their old songs,
exactly.
Right? We want to hear whatever that song from 1986 everybody's singing along with.
Right.
But if you do a bit about a Sports Illustrated football phone, probably doesn't have the same
exactly, rate. Yeah. You know, it's funny you said that about with comedy. You know, people want you to be different every time they see you.
Yeah.
You know, you're like your favorite banger come in town.
Right.
Like, you know, he got to sing that song. But if I do that same joke I did,
nobody wants
year,
it.
Like, oh, I can't believe he got no new material. You know,
it's not
he's
fair,
slacking.
Right? Like, it's not a fair thing because we want the band to play
exactly.
That song. I mean, when the band says here's something from our new album, that's when everybody goes and gets a beer.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So this is the girlfriend song.
Yeah, so I mean, this is y'all got to come up with new material. So introduce yourself.
Zeke Buchholz, been doing comedy since I was 18, been doing it in Mobile for about 5 or 6 years. And it's funny, you brought up the Sports Illustrated football phone, because we talked about, I had one
do
of those. One of those, and he was talking about how cool it was to get your own line. I never got my own line, but I did get a football phone in my room, so that was pretty cool.
But then you never knew, you know, if somebody, mom was listening in or
yeah,
something like
exactly.
That.
So I didn't really use it that much. I just had it and would say, like, hey, I've got this cool thing.
Yeah, well, it looked like a football. People
yeah.
might mistake it. But then
it breaks in half. It's a phone, too.
You take calls on it. And swing the mic over here.
Yeah, I'm Compton Smith. I'm a local producer, a local comedian here in Mobile. And I'm the youngest comedian in this bunch. I've only been doing comedy for about 2 years. So
You got,
just happy to be tagging along.
Well, and great pipes. Let's go ahead and get a demo tape. Let's go ahead and you to do some voiceover work for us. Okay, so now that we're all introduced, so this is something brand new for the city, and it's Mobile Comedy Festival.
Mm-hmm.
So how's this start, guys? How do y'all decide to do this?
Toulouse had this idea separately, and we talked about it probably about 2 years ago, and then we just kind of like hanging out after a show, talked about it, and then like we said, just kind of came to it. We're like, we should start doing it. And then somebody from out of town was like, hey, we wanted to do it. We talked to somebody that had already been in talks. They put us together with these guys. Like, yeah, we wanted to do a Mobile Comedy Festival too. We wanted to name it the same thing. So we decided, well, we're not doing the same thing. We're not going the same direction, so we might as well start doing it now and kind of baby it with the competition. And
one of the things that we was
– get you closer to that mic.
One of the things we talked about was that, you know, people always say there's nothing to do in Mobile.
Yeah.
And we as can testify there's at least 2 to 3 nights a week of comedy in Mobile to do.
See, even without this. Okay, so you say that, and that's what we talked about off the air. I'm a guy that is, I like it. I mm-hmm. like stand-up, and I was unaware. I was ignorant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's kind of comedy. It's like, you know, we have, I would say, at least 30, 40 comedians in Mobile just trying yeah. to work out material. Or,
that really
or
blows
traveling.
Me away.
It's actually more, but I'm thinking about the people who actually...
That are regularly. Working from out of here right now. Like, we go to Pensacola, we go to Panama City, we keep it in the southeast, or we do tours out of here as much as we can. So there's a bunch of them here grinding, and we're just trying to kind of make it... And Compton's been doing a great job. He's been booking lots of shows, and this is kind of another way to highlight the shows that are already going on. And then kind of... We've got a bunch of comedy shows going on. Like, we've got comedy shows going on at the Blind Mule. They've been doing for 5 years. It's a Wednesday open mic, and we got book shows at OK Bicycle Shop and Mint. Now we just added on with Rick Compton's people just added on. So we've got a bunch of stuff going on, and it's for some reason it doesn't get across to everybody. Like, even there's even comedians that have been doing comedy for 4 years didn't know that Two Loose Head shows running.
Exactly.
So you can't blame me if,
yeah,
if they didn't.
Fault. You know, yeah. We have like. And I don't want to make it seem like it's a racial thing, but, you know, you have
why
like,
you, go
you,
there?
Have, you have the black comics on one yeah. side, you know, yeah. doing things.
It's just who you know,
and
yeah.
literally around the corner, you know.
Literally, yeah. There, like, for 2 years, there was a show was one block away.
Yeah, doing a Wednesday night, and we doing a Sunday night, and none of the other comics knew about each other.
Yeah. We just so kind of knew. We would walk
bring them all together. So why yeah. can't we have, instead of having 10 to 15 comics at one night, we can do 40, 50 comics.
No, that's good because, I mean, if folks can get a night out, we're mm-hmm. going to try to get the volume of local comedy. Yeah. So this starts tomorrow night?
Well, it officially started last night. At
okay.
Mint. Tonight is the meet and greet open mic night at
the Blind Mule.
At the Blind Mule, and that's free. Most of the things we're doing are actually free for the public to just
good.
Get them out.
It's in my budget.
The competition yeah. starts tomorrow, and that will be at the
Alabama Music Box on Conception Street, and that'll be it's the brand new Music Box. I don't know if you remember there
oh,
was
yes,
a music.
I heard their attorney in front of the city council about 2 weeks ago getting their liquor license.
Yep,
so yeah,
yep.
then I knew it was real.
Yep. Then they just opened it up, and we were originally the Merry Widow, but they moved it over. It's a really cool venue. I don't know if you've been out and checked it out yet, but it's a really cool spot. Mm. But then Friday at Boo Radley's, we've got the second round of the competition, and then back to Alabama Music Box at 7 on Saturday for the finals, and that's going to be who wins the $500 prize. The ride on the float with the crew of Sparta and go to a Mardi Gras ball.
So what's the format on this? How long do people have to do a set?
Qualifying rounds Thursday and Friday, all comics will get 5 to 7 minutes.
Okay,
and then if they make it to the finals, then they get up to 15 minutes of stage time.
Okay, so they're gonna bring their best 5 to 7 to get mm-hmm. in, and then just repeat it. In their second.
Well, I mean,
hopefully don't repeat it. But I mean,
I'm giving you grief.
We wouldn't know, you know.
Yeah, right. It's going to be different sets of judges every night too, so it will keep it fresh, I guess.
What if you have 3 times more time? You should actually have
yeah,
more
you
material
have
to
more
add
material.
On. You know, unless you're just going to make those jokes longer.
Yeah, which is fine.
Because they could just kill it with the same 5 minutes and be like, "Well, I'm done now." Like, hey.
No, but your comics are good. You take a big pause, let the audience.
Yeah,
savor on it. Take a long draw on that
yeah.
one.
Well, you yeah.
walk around, take
long.
A sip of your water, like
yeah.
you doing. Say,
oh, yeah.
"You pause too long." They're like, "Well, tell a joke."
Let's do this. Y'all can hold on. We'll come back and talk more about this.
Yeah,
it's that deal. Okay,
yeah, I appreciate you.
Mobile Comedy Festival. You can find it on Facebook. We'll give you the exact address when we return right here on Midday Mobile. Online at FMTalk1065.com.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, and talking about what has now officially already started, but you got meet and greet, and then you have the competition starting tomorrow with the Mobile Comedy Festival. And Compton, Zeke, and Jacques in studio talking about this event. And I do want to kind of dig into... I don't know a better word, so it's going to be cliched, but the scene, the comedy scene here. You said there's as many as 30 or 40 comics in our area.
Yeah. And I'm lowballing when I say that, because it's, you
know. I'm not talking about that guy in accounting that's funny. I'm talking about somebody who gets up,
yeah.
stands on a stage, yeah. and gets in the mic and does a set.
Yep.
Whether I'd say
good
there are at least
bad,
25 they, doing yeah. it weekly and doing it seriously.
Exactly.
And then there's at least 30, 40 that are traveling with it and, like, keeping it going and still relative and like still relevant. You know what I'm saying?
You know, Mobile has some pretty well-known comics, and you know, you just probably don't even know they're from Mobile.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah. We was talking last night about Killer Bees.
Well, yeah, and he comes on the show, but I want to know outside. No offense, love you, Killer. You know, yeah. There he is calling. I'm happy for him, but I want to know more. You know, more shows, more things. I remember back, you and I were talking about, we're probably closer in the same age, mm-hmm. back in the 90s, going to the comedy club on Highway 90. Mm-hmm. That was good because I knew a place that I knew if I went there, they would have somebody doing a show.
And, you know, a lot of the people that we remember, if you remember, Steve Harvey came through there a few times. I think Ray, you know.
Yes.
Well, Ray actually started me out in comedy back, you know, before, you know, for you. So he's actually my mentor in comedy.
We got, no wonder we get along. Yeah. Yeah. He was one of my good buddies.
Even though he didn't like Alabama. That's the only problem we had.
Yeah, well, he wore that purple stuff. But that's a whole other, you know, you got to stick with your kin.
Exactly.
We'll bring up that conversation during the break.
Compton can probably give us a better what's going on, what's relevant.
Oh, hold on.
Whew. Well, we're safe.
Then I said, you know, no, that's not a goat. It was a horse I was with. Sorry. By the way, y'all, that was, thank you, federal government. That was our national EAS test. You heard it on all TV and radio. So I think we're finished with that for now. All right. Talking to the folks from the Mobile Comedy Festival that is happening for the next four days.
Well, until Sunday. Actually.
Yeah, until Sunday. So Sunday. Going on through Sunday. And Compton, you were talking about the process of these shows and coming. I want to find, people are listening to us right now, want to find some stand-up. Now, of course, this is a great time to do it this week.
So the best place to start, Zeke is one of the guys that started the open mic at the Blind Mule, which happens every Wednesday night. And I had the pleasure of hosting that. That'll be the official meet and greet tonight for the Mobile Comedy Festival. And that show goes on every week at the Blind Mule on Wednesday nights. We'd love to have everybody that's in town that's ever thought about doing comedy come out and give it a shot and come meet a lot of these comics that these guys have been talking about because we're there every week. We also host an open mic at Serta Coffee on Thursdays if anybody's interested in getting involved. And the comedy production company that myself and another local comic run is called Smoky Jokes. You can find us on Facebook. We produce shows twice a month in town. We also take a show to Panama City once a month. And so there are a lot of Mobile comics doing a lot of work, and we'd love to have more support. People come out and give us a chance to make you laugh. Some of the other stuff that's going on this week at Blind Mule Friday night, the three of us will be performing after the competition at Boo Radley's. We'll be performing at the Blind Mule around 9 o'clock for the Founders Show. And then Sunday, there's another open mic opportunity at, I can't remember the name of the place, help me
Sunday
out.
Sunday night, that's Halftime Sports Bar.
Yeah, Joe Page runs that show. That's a great one. And
these are all listed on the Facebook page,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, and we linked that up so I could tell you to go to Mobile Comedy Festival on Facebook, or you just go to our Facebook page and go to the event page, and it'll take us through night by night,
yes,
right?
Sir. Yes, sir.
All right, so we're talking about the scene here and going out to see shows. And I got to ask you this, as three comics, people working right now, and I'm not going to say anything about Jacques, been doing it since 1912, but you hear this from Jerry Seinfeld, you hear it from others, that it's harder than ever to tell a joke these days because of people being hypersensitive, you know, I mean, look at the public discourse. Is that your opinion? Is that, do y'all agree
with that? I think as a society we are a little more, if I could say it, more punkish than before. You know, I think that, you know, anything in the name of comedy should be fair game. I mean, it's like,
but it's not anymore.
It should be,
right?
I know, you know, but yeah,
not punkish like Black Flag. You mean punkish like can't handle it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
Not so much Jello Biafra.
You know, it's
kind of
sad that now I have to worry about what I say today that might come affect me 15, 20 years from now, you know.
Yeah, like Kevin Hart?
Yeah, exactly. You
know? I mean, here's Kevin Hart, who is doing the most mainstream kind of comedy routines, nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he says, and then he's going to, you can't host this show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
comedy, you know, I mean. You know, I think that sometimes
now, if people don't want to come see you,
they want to laugh.
That's the market,
yeah.
Right? If people don't want to come see you,
don't come.
Yeah. But doing the, hey, you can't get a job doing this, this, and this because of something you said in a routine, it's just sitting back from where I am, I got to be frustrated for you.
Exactly. Censorship.
Kind of the whole point of doing it is to be able to, if a lot of times it's people that weren't heard as kids or just didn't have a lot of confidence that come up and figure it out and it's like, oh, I can say whatever I want to up here. And right. I mean, if you're a piece of crap person, then you're going to say some terrible stuff. There is that kind of thing. But I just do jokes about bugs and whatnot. And sometimes people are like, oh, that's offensive. I'm like,
it's a bug.
Come on, man.
Like, right, people, right. I mean, because if you kept everything, if you thought about everything you did before you did it and said, would this offend, you know, but right. Let me make sure. I mean, some things you get a too soon moment. Gilbert Gottfried 2 days after 9/11 doing a thing. I mean, some things are too soon, but some things, yes, somebody's going to find fault. There's somebody out there that can find fault with Christmas morning and a puppy dog.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. In theory, everything can be funny if you figure it out. If you figure out the right way to say it, and it's funny enough, then nobody will care if it's offensive. So basically, if you want to be offensive, you got to be real funny too. Is what it is.
Well, I was always told that comedy is tragedy plus time.
Yeah.
Things that make you cry today can
and
make
a clever
you laugh
twist.
Tomorrow.
Comedy yeah, plus it. Time and a clever twist. William Shakespeare.
There you go. So the bard had it first, right?
His no, stand-up I don't think he said clever.
No, that's fine. It's fine. That's truth. You just said that's what Shakespeare said.
Yeah. We're smarter than we thought we were.
Go update the Wikipedia.
That's what I heard. We can do that. so with that many people here, do you see – I mean, I'm looking at some different ages here. No offense, Sharks.
Oh, well, no problem. Don't let the gray hair fool you.
Look at this. Well, you were probably the same age. So I wonder. It's good to see because you're how old?
25.
Okay. Compton? You said?
39.
Okay. So we'll go back to Zeke.
Well, hold on. Exactly. I'm going to say I'm a young 46.
And I'm a young 47, so
okay,
I got you beat. Yeah. See?
Oh, dang.
So y'all respect your elders in here.
What
I'm saying is I'm looking at Zeke, and that's good because at your age to be doing – I just wonder if – there's so much of this. I don't want to. Everybody's offended by everything. You would have funny people not do this, or you know, say it into a shower instead of saying it
into
on
a microphone.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a big thing. There's like we people our age. We like I don't know what to say. That's weird. I've done shows at like colleges and stuff like that, at open mic colleges or like poetry kind of style things, and it is like a completely different kind of thing because you do feel like you're kind of walking on eggshells no matter what you do. So like starting up through there, it's kind of tough. Like if you have a unique spin on something and it's not necessarily what everybody in the college thinks is cool, because that's a big part of it too, is thinking that you're cool, because it kind of takes away some of that little edge that you could have had if you got to like shave it off so people at your college will come and see you and not be like you're a terrible person because that's comedy is one of the only art forms that you can get off stage and people can go be like, that was bad, I hate that guy, not just the act. It's like, that dude sucks, like he's the worst.
Like if the drummer doesn't keep rhythm, nobody comes up and spits at him at the end of the show.
Nobody's gonna curse his firstborn child or anything.
So what do you tell somebody who's riding down the road who you know thinks that they may have a desire to try this out?
First step, get up and do it. Second step, keep doing it. Go out of town. Do all different kinds of places. We used to bust down music open mics at old like blues spots and just be like, we're doing comedy now, so here we go. Like, just try it everywhere. Try it at dive bars at 3 o'clock in the morning. Try it at a coffee shop. Try it at another dive bar at 3 o'clock in the morning.
The more you do it, the better you're gonna get.
Right, and the more different people that you do it to, like different crowds, then you can kind of, if you can kill in every room, then you're on the right track. Like, and that's what you want to get for, because that's also because that means that you have a good point of view for everybody.
That's hard, man. That's gotta be hard.
I mean,
like there's some things that are like truisms that you could get everybody to laugh to, but at some point too, you've got to have. You got to have something that's in people's – I don't know. You tell one joke that has somebody in their 20s rolling laughing, and somebody in their 60s may like, I don't get it.
I work with puns and whatnot, so everybody loves puns, and I just got those little one-liners in there. Excellent. Stream of consciousness.
But you mentioned if somebody's looking for a place to start, one of the best pieces of advice I ever got is everybody has a handful of stories about their life that they've told hundreds and hundreds of times that make up who they are. And so if you can take material that you are very well versed in onto stage, tell those stories, is a great place to start, because you won't be lacking for something to say on stage. You've told those stories. You're comfortable with that material. It's a great place to start for someone to get the confidence to get on stage and take a first stab at it.
So the same truism, like when somebody's writing, write what you know.
Yeah.
And so do comedy like you know.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, man, best of luck. Break a leg. And it's starting tonight. through Sunday.
Through Sunday, yep.
All right, y'all, we're going to keep reminding you of this the whole way through the weekend.
Tonight at the Blind Mule.
Come out tonight and see this. If you've been like me going, where's the comedy show? They're here. And they're performing for us for the next few days, and they're competing, so they're going to actually show up and really try, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135, FM Talk 106.5. Not only he's the man you talk to, the man I talk to most times when I'm in Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, the expert for precious metals and collectibles. But who knew he was also a fortune teller, a soothsayer, as last week I think we were talking about what might be happening with silver and gold, and when things get questionable out there and times get tough on the trade front, that maybe precious metals come up in price. Angelo, take your victory lap, sir.
Yeah, I mean, talk about getting spot on, and I'll be honest, really darn lucky, Sean. I'm glad I have luck on my side, but we've been watching gold and silver prices be flat for so long. You know at some point there's going to be a correction, there's going to be a run-up, and right now silver is over $17 an ounce, and gold is over $15. It's been $15, that's $1,500, by the way, on gold, which still is really surprising for a lot of people. People are still expecting it to run up even more. Now, that said, I've still got some great values on gold and silver here at the shop for people that are worried about having missed their boat on jumping in on buying gold and silver. At the same time, if somebody wants to sell some of their silver collection and get some extra cash, we've had people coming in. As a matter of fact, earlier today, somebody came in from Panama City Beach, Florida, to come over here and sell to us.
Wow, that says something. Also, you one thing you pointed out to me, too, there's dealing in precious metals and those values, but you can also nuance it with it, the artwork and the collectible nature for silver rounds and different coins, right?
We have a lot of different designs and different pieces here at the shop that are very collectible, very cool. We've talked about everything from those Route 66 pieces to the John Wick coins, the Queen's Beast series. So, yeah, it's not just a piece of metal. There's some beautiful artwork involved as well. And we try to keep a really wide variety of things in stock here at the shop.
Okay. One last thing has, I guess it does have a little bit to do with metal because the great blades on them. But I was asked this weekend when I pulled out the Open L, they said, those are the knives you're talking about with Angelo all the time. I said, yes, indeed it is. What's your supply looking like?
Really good. As a matter of fact, our supplier ramped up their supplies since we've been selling so well, and we did the same thing. So anything from those little number two keychain Open Elves all the way up to the number eights and number nines, we've got plenty in stock right now. Come by and check them out.
All right. Give folks directions to come see you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can always check us out on the web at mobilebaycoins.com or go on to Facebook and check out some of the new items there.
Thank you, Angelo. We'll see you soon.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins. You know, when I said this is the strange way, which is normal to me but strange to other people, that my brain works when I started talking about Angelo making that call last week, right, so talking about, hey, you get instability out there and precious metal prices go up. The first thing, when I wanted to call Angelo, I didn't think he'd like it, but I wanted to call him.
The young one or the married one?
The married one.
That's what I thought. Don't go. You hear me?
I wanted to call him Miss Cleo. And then in Googling Miss Cleo there in just seconds before we went on the radio, Dalton, did we have this story? Did we do it that Miss Cleo died? Miss Cleo died in 2016 at age 53. She didn't see that coming. Yeah, it's said, 2016, age 53, died at her home in Palm Beach, Florida. So there you go. Miss Cleo dead. I would have probably missed that if I'd have thought she was in hiding, but not, I wouldn't have think she had passed away. But so,
if you want him to believe that it's over, then you got to stop accepting the booty calls at 2 a.m. in the morning.
That's for sure. So Miss Cleo dead. And Dalton, that may not, does that resonate with you? Is that an age thing? Is that, I mean, were you aware of Miss Cleo? Yes, no, you are. Okay, so Dalton's shaking his head coming in. So you are, because I didn't know. Sometimes that might have been something that was just, because we're, by the way, there's 20 years, but basically 20 years between Dalton and I in age. But you're familiar with Miss Cleo.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with Miss Cleo. Okay. She had the infomercials. I don't know. Do you call that an infomercial?
I call it service? The infomercial.
The infomercial.
Yeah, like this right here, yeah.
Could you tell me what type of direction is my life headed into?
Last four nights, your feelings have been hurt, so you've been up all night.
Yes.
You haven't been... And this is around the relationship.
Talk about it.
Okay, don't make me take you to church, young man.
Okay, so there's a little bit of Miss Cleo there.
You know, I think what happened, I do remember us reporting on Miss Cleo's death.
How did I forget that?
I think she is one of the unfortunate ones who died the week of a more famous person, is how that worked out.
Oh, so she was overshadowed by somebody even higher up the celebrity ladder than Miss Cleo?
Yeah, I'm looking through the famous deaths of 2016, and I seem to remember, was that when Prince passed? Somebody passed, I think, the same week that Miss Cleo did, so she was a little bit overshadowed at the time.
Just a little bit, though. I mean, Prince was, he's a pretty good musician and everything, had some songs out there, but he wouldn't, you know, he didn't tell the future.
You did have Gary Marshall passed that same week. I don't know if that
but
was
Gary,
it or not.
Yeah, there's some, but I would say that the Gary Marshall fan audience doesn't 100% overlay with the Miss Cleo fan audience. Don't you think there's probably a little difference there?
Yeah, you're probably right. Probably not much overlap there.
I'm proud that you are familiar with Miss Cleo. It just makes me feel not so old.
I remember my grandma's house when when Granny would take care of me, and she'd go to bed at, I don't know, 5 p.m., 6 p.m., so I'd hang out all night watching TV, and Miss Cleo and Dr. Ruth, I remember.
Oh, Dr. Ruth Westheimer. I had forgotten. Is she still alive?
I think Dr. Ruth is still kicking.
Well, you know the world and the universe is not fair. When Dr. Ruth is still alive, but Miss Cleo has left the planet.
That's exactly right.
All right, so we've answered that question. Thank you, man.
No problem.
Miss Cleo in the not really in the news. I just completely brought her out of nowhere, brought her from beyond the grave, and put her in the news. She was not in the news. Don't go tell your friends that Miss Cleo was in the news, because she wasn't. I just shoehorned it in there because of the very, very strange way my mind works. But I guarantee you there's going to be some of you, if you haven't already, you've gone to YouTube and brought up the best of Miss Cleo, didn't you? Didn't you? Or you're gonna put hey Google, remind me to watch Best of Miss Cleo when I get home tonight. I know you will.
The ex is much better than the present one, you know.
I can see the future.
Did you think that you were pregnant a couple of months back?
Yes.
You were, but you lost it, correct?
Yeah. The secret that
you- okay, so there we go. So there's a little bit more of Miss Cleo. That's probably what I'm going to do with my evening tonight. All right, phone number. Text line 343-0106. 343-0106. People question, when's the... Okay, they moved the... I can tell you, here's the easy part of the toll story from today. Is the fact that they have moved this meeting of the Alabama Toll Authority to October 7th. The second part of this question is, what do they do? It's a fantastic question. That is a fantastic question that I do not have an answer to, unnamed texter, because I don't know the last time this group met. We talked to John Sharp from AL.com in the first hour of the program, and trying to figure out this. I know this. We have one South Alabama representative, Senator Albritton, on there, and everybody else is not from down here. This is the tolling authority. They're going to meet October 7th. They're going to hear from the people. We're going to try to, you know, make sure you remember that's coming up. Maybe we'll take a road trip up there, go to that meeting on October 7th. But what exactly, like people are, these are fair questions I don't have an answer to because they hadn't been answered to me. What can the toll authority do? What changes can they make? I don't know that. But hopefully by the end of the week we will. But right now I don't have an answer to it because I don't know that we've ever had a news story about the toll authority and them doing things in the past. Maybe we have. Maybe it's like Miss Cleo. Maybe I forgot it. All right, let's go to the phones. 343-0106. And Tim in Fairhope is first up. Hey, Tim.
Hey, good afternoon. I was just wanted to call you yesterday when you were reminiscing about the bridge construction and all. I grew up and graduated in the early 80s. We used to take a ride down 65 going up to the Dolly Parton before it was finished, before they ever made it, the dead ended. It used to be our hangout spot that people would just go down there and hang out because it dead-ended into nowhere.
That's what teenagers do. You were a teenager, right, at that time? Uh-huh. You were a teenager at that time?
Yeah, I was a teenager.
Why is that, because I remember those days of being one. Anywhere that there was something unfinished,
yeah.
it's like yeah. it gravitates teenagers.
Like the bridge over Rabbit Creek, I think, there on the range line at one time. That was another spot we used to go to.
Right.
But you might remember that one. But also, when they were building the causeway there, or the bayway, we used to fish on the causeway as kids. And I remember how they how it dead-ended where they had started it, but it didn't complete all the way across for a long time. And I don't know if you remember. Do you remember them making a TV series? I think it was called either Moving On or Keep On Trucking. It was like a trucking movie, and they ran a couple of trucks off of that bridge. They had like a car chase, and they used the end of that bridge to run right off of it into the causeway area.
I wonder how much they were paid for. And I don't remember that, but I have to.
You don't remember that?
Because I'm getting that confused. I remember all the discussion when I was a student at the University of Alabama about how they filmed Hooper there at the one too many Burt Reynolds movies, and made the big smokestacks fall there. But we had something on the. Who was in that movie?
I can't remember. I don't know if it was a movie. I thought it was a TV series, but it might have been Hooper. It was definitely a TV show where the trucks, the semi-trucks ran off the bridge right there.
Do you think there's a chance we could have, if we were building like the bridge that they propose, we can run some vehicles off of it and make some money to help pay for it?
Yes, that's a great idea. Let's make some movies, you know, and have cars fall off of it as every piece gets put together and finance it that way.
Yeah, we're not working today, guys.
Thank you,
Tim. Appreciate it. Yeah, we're not working today, guys. Why aren't we working? Oh, they got the movie people here. They're running cars off the end of the bridge again. It's what it takes to pay for the I-10 Mobile River Bridge. Hey, I would vote for a longer build, meaning we have to have a longer build because we're running cars off the end of it for movies, than having to pay a toll. How about you? Ron is in Mobile. How about you, Ron? What would you do there?
Okay, Ron. I mean,
I'm Sean.
Sean, I'm a little bit nervous, so give me a second, okay?
Okay,
I'm driving
no worries.
My car, stopped up to a couple of things. The state senators have some control. They could repeal the bill that authorized the toll authority or whatever they did, okay? That's one aspect, okay? The other aspect, why didn't we, if a private investor thinks it's profitable, then why did we not issue a bond issue?
That was our question.
Second
yes,
thing,
yes.
Or another thing. All right, they decided to issue a toll authority on this particular bridge. There's two other points I want to make really quick, too. Let's say Mobile City wants to put a bridge on Rangeline Road. Can they do that? Okay, that authority authorizes them to do that. Second thing, nobody's thought about people from Louisiana that travel through Alabama are going to be angry, and they're going to retaliate by putting a toll on their interstate.
Oh, they're not. They already told themselves.
Do it.
Do you really care if the Louisiana
in other words,
people
we're
are angry?
Opening up Pandora's box here.
Do you really care that the Louisiana people are angry? Come on.
No, but I care that if our Alabama citizens drive over there. That they have to pay a toll. And I'm sorry if that's the important thing that you took from my conversation. I'll leave y'all to it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, Ron. I guess I'll follow along, kinda. Coming back, we'll grab more of your phone calls. Or I could just do this for the rest of the show.
Well, I'm not one, brethren. I got backup this time.
This person is that's around you right now has been in jail before.
Yeah, you're right. You're telling the honest truth. Right.
You know, people have been criticized and jabbed at and talked about throughout the ages for having different beliefs. And apparently I am no exception. Although it is a constant challenge.
Preach. There's Cleo, preach. Be right back. Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, come to the phone and text line in just a second at 343-0106, 343-0106. This segment of the show brought to you by Lightstream. Credit card bills, every month you get them with multiple payments, multiple due dates. Wouldn't it be easier just to have one payment and a much lower rate? I got the solution. You can with a credit card consolidation loan from the folks at Lightstream. Get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with auto pay. Compare that to the national interest rate for credit cards, 19% APR. Even I can do that math, and you're going to save a bunch. Plus, the rate is fixed, so it never goes up over the life of the loan, and you can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are no fees. And you can get your money as soon as the day you apply. And the application is so easy, you can apply right from your phone. LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. And just for y'all, special deal, special interest rate discount now. The only way to get the discount is to go to their website, lightstream.com/Sullivan. LIGHTSTREAM.com/Sullivan. My last name, SULLIV as in victory, A-N. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, and to the phones here. Oh, and Dalton pointed out that maybe the reason we did not know that Ms. Cleo passed, Dalton pointed out that that was the day that then candidate Trump picked his running mate of Mike Pence. So that Ms. Cleo was lost under the Mike Pence announcement. Seems plausible to me. All right, to the phones, and Dino in Fairhope is up first. Hey, Dino.
Hey, it's Dino. No big deal.
I'm sorry.
A statement then a point okay. I want to make. My statement is, my freshman year at Auburn was in 1980. That was 35 years ago. And I've been to Auburn at least once a year ever since then. Mm-hmm. And I've never passed through Montgomery when there was not road construction in those 35.
That's right. You're right.
That's my statement. But I'm a guy that's probably a little more aggressive, and I say it's time to shoot a mighty big missile over the bow. Because personally, I grew up on the Gulf Coast. I'm in my mid-50s. I feel like I have more in common with the people of Pensacola in Biloxi, Mississippi, than I do Montgomery and Birmingham. And I'd like to see a feasibility study put together that would look at creating a northern Gulf state that will include not only the coastal counties of Alabama, but Mississippi and the Florida Panhandle. We would have our own representation in Congress. Alabama, Mississippi, and Florida would lose congressional representation if that happened, and we would gain two senators. And, yeah, I know it would be crazy, but there's counties in Virginia that have looked at this in the past, and I think it's time to put a feasibility study and shoot it over the bow of Montgomery.
Now, the Gulf State is what it was called. I mean, we studied it in high school, and our teacher, who walked us all through it and got us all excited, and then he said, but there's not a snowball's chance in hell this is passing, but... It got us excited back then. The Gulf State.
It would get some attention in Montgomery. That's the main thing.
That's for sure. And I appreciate the call. What should get their attention, what has their attention, but they don't let on like it is, 6% state sales tax. Remember, I go back to the whole definition, just a side note before we go to Paul Feinbaum here in a second. The basis of the state of Alabama's lawsuit, which I think was poorly executed, but the lawsuit against BP and Anadarko and the other related players in the Gulf oil spill was based on the lack of sales tax that the state didn't get the sales tax, right? That's what they were suing for. That was the deal made to the state. That's the big pot of money that the state didn't get, the sales tax. Then you have the other pot of money that's for the damages to the natural environment and all those things. But one part of that was the lawsuit for the unrealized sales tax. You couldn't have realized what was unrealized if it wasn't for Mobile and Baldwin counties. Those were the two places affected by the oil spill. The only reason you didn't get the sales tax 6% is that people were not buying things in Mobile and Baldwin County, not shopping, not doing the same things in the past, lodging or sales. So in the lawsuit, in the construction of the lawsuit of the state of Alabama versus BP and Darko and other players, they made the case for the overall super big giant lion, like Lion King times 5 share of the money from South Alabama. So what happened when it went to the legislature? We had great representatives that tried to fight the good fight, and they got bum-rushed by the rest of the state. So somebody walking down the track with a lot of money in their pocket, and they just got jumped. All right, let's do it again tomorrow. How about that? Meet me back here at 6 for Mobile Mornings tomorrow. Now, Paul Feinbaum.